the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie. We're your hosts for today. And we are continuing the conversation on satanic strongholds, the things that can hold us back. You may have heard last week the first three that lead to strongholds where Satan can influence our lives and hinder us from doing the fullness of what God wants.
Unconfessed sin,
yep.
Believing lies, and not forgiving others, unforgiveness.
Yes. So let's just dive straight in, continuing the conversation. What else can lead to Satan having a foothold in our life, a place to influence, to move forward, a stronghold? And the fourth one is unhealthy relationships. So what do we mean by that? We mean someone having a stronger tug and weight on your life than God himself and his word.
Wow.
That seems self-explanatory. Like, well, obviously that's going to mess up your life.
Right.
But I think we often live differently. Like, well, so-and-so said, and well, they really want this. So, I mean, I can slide on these convictions a little bit.
So like, for example, if my girlfriend comes to me and says, I really want to have sex, and I know Jesus says, I don't want you to do that, and like her voice becomes more important in my life.
And she's influencing more than God himself.
Right.
Now let's say you actually go ahead and move forward with that same scenario. According to 1 Corinthians, Paul says that anyone that you have sex with, you become one flesh.
Hmm.
You're tied to them at a deep heart level. Like, you just connected with them. And now imagine you're sleeping around. Like, how many people are you tied to at a deep heart level that you become one flesh with?
Right.
That's going to hinder your life, man.
Sure.
Massively.
And sex is not the only thing. Like, I mean, men do this to women. Women do this to men. Teachers do this. Like, spiritual teachers, philosophical teachers do this to people who are listening to them. All this manipulation, all this deception, all this.
And scripture has a lot to say about relationships. Young people, it says to honor, respect, and obey your parents if you want to live a long life.
It's the first commandment with a blessing.
Yes. So respect and honor your parents if you're listening to this. Now,
and not just young people, old people too.
Yeah.
Whoever still has parents.
and I'll give one time when I think you should disobey your parents. They say don't follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Disobey them in love and still respect and honor them. Say, I'm sorry. I really respect you, but I have to follow Jesus. I have to follow what he's asked me to do. And that may be you that you need to say, I'm going to respect them, and I need to follow Jesus. But overall, we need to honor and respect our parents. Wives and husbands need to have a certain kind of relationship. The scripture says in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, respect your wives or your prayers will be hindered. That's a weird, crazy verse. Your prayers will be hindered. Your spiritual life with Jesus will be hindered if you don't respect your wife. That's serious.
Right. No, that's not just something that we would ever hear lightly from the scriptures.
No.
Like, that's not just something that they throw around.
I have never heard that verse preached before. I don't know about you. Like, who's going around preaching, hey, husbands, respect your wives, or guess what? Your prayers are hindered. You can't connect with Jesus as well.
Right. Or husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's like being willing to die for your wife. Yeah, like literally dying, but also like, how about dying to your desires every day?
Yeah.
How about like serving her and lifting her up in the same way that Christ served us and lifted us up?
So if you're a husband listening to this, it's time to man up.
Oh, oh.
go love your wife. Maybe go do the dishes or something and write a note to her. Find a way to love her.
Do whatever it takes. Like, if you need to set your a reminder on your phone to be intentional for your wife, do it.
Like, that's a good idea.
Until it becomes a habit, do it. Do whatever it takes to radically love your wife. It'll bless you. It'll bless your wife. If you have kids, it'll bless them. Do it.
Wives, according to Ephesians 5, submit to your husband in everything as to the Lord. Pretty clear. If you're in a husband-wife relationship, God has called you to submit to your husband. And
just before that, we also read about mutual submission to one another.
Yeah, submit to one another. The husband's to lay down his life, like we just talked about. The wife is called to submit to her husband as the head of the household.
Yeah.
And that's the God-given roles that God has placed out in Scripture. It doesn't mean there's not discussion. It doesn't mean there's not input from either husband or wife. It's the way that God has set it up.
And it's not like that submission is not like husbands lord over your wives and control every aspect of their behavior.
Jesus taught against that.
Right. That is not at all what that submission looks like.
No. It's a loving submission. But I even believe that wives, if you have a husband who is not walking well with Jesus or an unbeliever, like Paul talks about in the Scriptures, it says, wives, love them, stay with them, submit to them that they might be won over to Jesus and grow in maturity. And so I think that it reveals to them Jesus and who he is. Husbands, when you give your life, wives, when you submit to your husbands on either side.
And also some other relationships that are worth noting, like what if there's a pastor who's preaching something that's contrary to Scripture? Like,
yeah.
Like, well, you know, Pastor so-and-so said that, you know, such-and-such sin, it's no big deal.
Well, you know, Jesus said. Right. That's who I'm going with.
Yeah. So that's another potential unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, I think friends and connections. I mean, overall, this point can be summed up in bad company corrupts good character.
One apple spoils the whole bunch. I found out that phrase is actually quite like very real. Like,
yeah.
Like the one bad apple, like a rotting apple, releases this gas that makes everything else ripen at an accelerated rate. And so one rotten apple in a barrel of apples will cause the whole barrel to rot.
So take the rotten one out of the barrel. What that means when we talk about this proverb, bad company corrupts good character, be careful who influences your life. Make sure that it's God and his word that has the strongest influence. If you're letting people input into your life and influence, make sure they're godly, loving, Jesus kind of people centered on his word.
That's good.
And if there are people in your life right now that are tugging you wrong directions, you might consider backing off from that relationship a little bit. Now, I'm not saying don't meet with lost people and love lost people and get to know them and have relationships. God has called us to do that. But we need to be careful what level of influence people have in us. And if we're in a place where they're influencing us so negatively, pulling us down, hindering us from what God has, it might be time to say that's a relationship worth ending or backing off from.
Yeah. And I think that this particular point comes really to life in Jesus's teaching that we're supposed to hate our family relative to how much we love him.
Yeah, there's a verse that literally says, if anyone does not hate his father, mother, brother, sister, wife, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
Right. So it's a very kind of like really confusing verse. But Jesus isn't saying, literally, I want you to hate these people because that would be a problem, you know, because he says, love your neighbor and love your enemy and hate your family. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is relative to how much you love me, you hate all these other significant people in your life. So when our wife or husband or children or whatever are a close number two to God, it's easy for those two to switch places. It's easy for my children to become an idol, or my wife or husband or my boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever, my best friend, to become an idol. But when I hate them relative to how much I love Jesus, that jump is way wider and it's way more difficult. Those things don't just easily, God and whatever is number two in your life doesn't just switch places quite easily.
We need to be more intentional about loving Jesus with everything we've got. And out of that love, we'll be able to love others.
Yeah.
Massively important. So what else? Number five of things that may hinder us, that may pull us back, becoming a stronghold in our life, and that's generational patterns. Kind of a weird concept.
Right.
But first, First Peter 1:18, this verse, it says, for you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Mm. So my ancestors, my parents, my grandparents, my great parents, my great great grandparents, my great 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 grandparents and their parents and their my ancestors, my forefathers, there was an empty way of life handed down to me, a sinful life, a lifeless life. And Christ has redeemed that redeemed me out of that on the cross. Yet I think so often we don't walk in the fullness of what Jesus paid for. We'd rather take up the old patterns because it's easy.
Right. My family calls it our base code or whatever. Just like we go back to our original programming. Whenever we're under stress or whatever, mm-hmm. we end up doing the things that we used to do before we knew Jesus, rather than doing the things that Jesus has called us to do. And this can be generational, right? So you can observe that divorced parents tend to have kids who get divorced. And it's not foolproof. It's not 100% of the time. But like there's these patterns that happen in families. Potentially abusive fathers give birth to sons who become abusive fathers. And so on and so forth. Or unwed mothers give birth to daughters who become unwed mothers, and so on and so forth.
Hey, no one in my family's ever been to college, so why should I even try?
There you go.
I'm not good enough for that. Or, hey, everyone in my family's been addicts. I probably will be too.
Right.
Well, we've always been racist. What's the big deal?
Everyone in my family has this particular spiritual difficulty.
Yeah.
Like witchcraft. We all... I don't know.
I don't know if that's a spiritual difficulty.
Well, like everyone in my family.
We're all Wiccans.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's something that it's an empty way that was passed down from our forefathers. There you go.
sorry. Yeah, it could be that what you mean is, everyone in my family is just depressed all the time. They have no joy from God. Everyone.
That's more what I mean. Thank you.
There you go. I think it's important for us to consider, hey, this pattern I'm struggling with, do I see this in my family, in my parents, in my grandparents on either side? And if you do, hey, pay attention to that.
Mm.
It's important. So what can we do?
How can we overcome that? Let's start with number five and work backwards.
Okay. Well, before that, overall, I think these things can lead to satanic strongholds in our life.
Right, like we were saying it last week's episode.
Yep, a few weeks back we talked about satanic hindrances where Satan hinders us on mission. He wants to stop the mission. We cannot stop Satan from shooting at us. We cannot stop him from trying to hinder us. What we can do is stop him from creating footholds and strongholds in our own personal walks with Jesus, because we are victorious through Jesus himself.
Yep.
Who will deliver me from this body of death? Romans 8, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have the power and the victory in Jesus. So what does that look like? James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
Hmm.
A lot of these areas, these five things, are outside of submission to God.
Yeah, they are. So like we're choosing our own way over his way.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't submit to God. The devil comes after us. We have no power to resist him. Boom, stronghold.
Mm.
Big problem. And so number one, submit to God. That we'll walk through each of these things, what that looks like. But that could also be the enemy's attacking you. He's coming after you. The thoughts are flying. The arrows are flying. And it seems like there's an extra dark resistance that's coming after you. You might just need to pray out loud, Jesus, help me.
Right.
Submit. And then resist the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, go away. And what do you know? He's going to flee.
Hmm.
We see that with Jesus. We see that with his original 12 followers. We see that with his 72 followers. We see that all throughout the book of Acts with all his other followers. Time and time again, the name of Jesus spoken out loud was extremely powerful.
Even when they're not his followers.
Yes, although, yeah, there were demons that were cast out, supposedly, from those who were not the followers of Jesus. In fact,
because the name of Jesus has authority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
That's passage is complicated. We don't have to get into it.
There's multiple passages, right. Actually. So I was just thinking about them. But yeah, his name is very powerful. One example, my wife was a nanny for several years, a lot of years, and watched these kids every day. One time, one of the kids, and my wife has been with various nanny families, different ones, and in one of these families, one of the kids came to her, was like, hey, like I'm so afraid to go to sleep.
Mm.
Like, what do you mean? Even for nap time. Well, there's sometimes this black like shadow figure in my room, and it always tries to come in. And you could just like brush that aside. Oh, you have a great imagination.
Right. Hey, it's your imaginary friend. Your
imaginary. But my wife is more wise than that, realizes that there is a spiritual battle. So she said, hey, don't worry about that. Oh, she said, every time you walk into the room, it disappears through the door handle. And so
the kid said that to your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time you walk in the room.
So my wife said, hey, don't worry about it. Next time you see that, just tell it to leave. Say the name of Jesus out loud and it will be okay. Some months later, my wife had said, hey, how's that thing going? She's like, oh, yeah, I just like say the name of Jesus out loud and then I go to sleep. It's no problem. It always goes away. And this is like a 5-year-old.
Wow.
So pretty incredible. This spiritual reality of James 4:7 is true.
Right.
So,
and you might be out there saying, wow, I've had a really similar experience as that kid. I know that,
yeah.
Like, there's so many kids who have a kind of a sense of that spiritual battle that's going on, maybe better than some adults.
Yes. So what do we do?
Yeah.
Well, let's go through each of these, and then I think we can give some just general principles of fighting the spiritual battle.
All right. Starting with number 5, generations, since that's the one we just recently talked about.
Generational patterns. I think it's fairly simple.
Yeah.
Don't just succumb to your family history. Let God declare your future.
Amen. And
so how do you do that?
Here's a way that can look is, well, actually, let's talk about how you do that first.
Yeah. I think it can be as simple as when you recognize this pattern, saying, Lord, I want to break this off in your name. And what is the way, the path that you have me to walk in that's different? It might be, well, no one in my family has really been able to connect with God well. So I'm going to just say, I rebuke that pattern. Lord, I want to be done with that. And, hey, I want to be up close to you. Could you pave that path for me in the future?
Right. It takes someone to break the pattern.
Yeah.
And I know that in my family, like my wife's family, her grandfather was that pattern breaker for abuse. So his father seriously abused him, but he decided, I am not going to abuse my son. And I have an amazing father-in-law as a result. My father-in-law is a very well put together person. And he has stood in the gap on other things that his father didn't do well. And my dad is the exact same way. My dad said, you know what? I'm not going to abuse my children in the same way that my dad abused me. And same thing is true with my mom, in fact. I inherited the blessing as a child of people who said, in the name of Jesus, this is not happening. Like, I am not going to be like my father or my mother was to me. I'm going to be what Jesus has called me to be.
The next one, unhealthy relationships. So seek God's plan in relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, we know, we talked about what's sinful.
Right.
And so, hey, let, like, if it's as simple as saying, okay, somebody's been swaying me. We know when they're swaying our heart, swaying our mind. It's time for me to back off. Maybe I'm not going to hang out with them when I always hang out with them.
Right.
Maybe I need to stop texting at all times of the day.
Right.
Maybe I need to get off Snapchat with that person.
Right.
And Lord, in prayer, ask for his strength. I want to break this off. I want to be influenced rightfully. Who are the people that could invest in my life that you might want to bring along? Who are some brothers or sisters that I can link arms with that are going to challenge me forward spiritually and not corrupt me?
Right. And then the positive side of that, being a husband who's willing to lay down your life for your wife, being a wife who submits to your husband, being a child who honors your father and mother, being, I mean, you go down the list.
Yeah.
Being a man or a woman who honors God in all the ways that you do relationships.
Unforgiveness. Forgive. when someone wrongs you, not if, when, it right. could be as small as...
getting cut off in traffic.
Yeah, or they said something that hurt you.
Right.
Even unintentionally.
Sure.
And it could be as large as they scammed your whole family, killed your brother, you name it.
Right.
And same thing. Lord, I forgive so-and-so for doing these things to me. I release them to you.
Right. And there's that temptation to say, hey, you know, as a victim, you don't have to forgive. But remember, forgiveness is a key that unlocks the lock that brings freedom from that situation.
It's an offer, not a burden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. An offer, not a burden. It's an opportunity, not something yes. that we have to feel obligated about. Yeah. Yeah.
Believing lies. Seek God's truth, the Bible. Get to know it. Get it in you. Get in it. I recommend underlining, highlighting, starring, drawing. I'm a professional cave art.
Do you
artist? Which
do you
means
highlight
I,
your Bible? I don't
I
know
draw
if you highlight your
stick
Bible.
Figures. No, I don't highlight, but I draw on stuff. Get into the Word of God. Get it into you. Know the truth. Know the truth. Know the truth. Hmm. And then when the lies come, you'll be able to discern whether it's true or false.
Right.
And if it's a lie, in Jesus' name, I rebuke that lie from my life. Or if God's highlighted some things in your heart that you've been believing that are lies, hey, I rebuke that lie in Jesus' name. Lord, what's the truth? I believe your truth. Just as I received your salvation by faith, I believe this truth by faith and reject any lie.
Right. And if you're thinking to yourself, man, I want to know the truth, but I just don't even know where to start, consider starting in Mark. And after that, consider going to Acts and read through Acts. And after that, consider reading through Ephesians. If you want more of our recommended list of how to get into the truth and the truth into you, we'd love to send that to you. You can reach out to us at our email, fuelfortheharvest@gmail.com, and we'd be happy to get that list to you. But another thing is, if you're an English speaker, which I suspect that you are because you're listening to this podcast.
Although there are people in like 35 or so countries.
Right.
Listening. So I guess, yeah, never mind. You have to know English to talk to us. I guess Google hasn't translated us yet.
but all that to say, anyone who speaks English has like historically crazy access to resources in the English language. Everything from your regular everyday study Bible to systematic theology books to, there's literally hundreds of resources, and you don't even have to pay for many of them. Many of them you can find online for free. And because I know one of the biggest things is, yeah, I tried to read the Bible, but it's just, I can't understand it. And it's like, you know what? It's okay. Like, it's real. It is. It can be difficult to understand, but there's no excuse to not use the tools that you have at your disposal in order to gain the understanding that you might not already have, including other brothers and sisters in Christ who I know for sure there are people in your local community of Christians who would love to come alongside you and equip you and train you in what they have been learning. And you might be able to equip and train them in what you've been learning. And it, go figure, you might even have a little glimpse of what the church is supposed to be. Sorry about the sarcasm.
So finally, unconfessed sin. We talked about that somewhat extensively. Confess it. Lord, I'm sorry. I give that to you. Confess it and press forward. Don't dwell on it. Don't, oh man, I did this again. No, confess it and move on. Be done with it because God remembers it no more, so why should we?
Right.
And find a brother or sister to confess it in prayer with and ask for their prayer help along the way as well.
And we're not saying don't learn from it.
Yeah.
Like when we say forget it, we're not saying don't learn from it. We're saying move past it with the knowledge that you now have gained and use that.
So those are some ways that we can deal with personal attacks of the enemy and avoid giving him a foothold. Set up the armor of God on us, the shield of faith, walking in obedience to Jesus to say, hey, here's how we can fight and not succumb to the strongholds. There are some other weapons of our warfare of the spiritual battle, which we'll share on next week's episode. Can't wait for you to listen to that, to dig into that a little bit further of, hey, are there other weapons that we have in the spiritual battle? Yes, there are. And we'll be excited to share those with you. But thanks for joining us for this episode. If you get the opportunity, we're always blessed when you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, when you share on social media. If there's a particular episode that's really encouraged you, would you share it with some people and say, hey guys, check this out. We always appreciate that.
Yeah. So. Hey, if you don't mind, I feel like the Lord is saying we should end this podcast with a prayer, maybe a prayer for freedom for people. Lord Jesus, thank you. We praise you. You're good. You're glorious. You're amazing and awesome, and we love you. Father, I pray for those who are listening right now that you would bless them and keep them and make your face shine down upon them and give them peace. Lord, if there's anyone struggling with anything on this list, unforgiveness or a lack of ability to confess a sin or anything on this list, generational patterns, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give them the wisdom and the strength that they need to overcome it. And Father, that you would be active and at work doing the things that we cannot do, but you absolutely 100% can do, because your name, Lord, is powerful and your name is the name above every other name. We worship you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for joining this episode of Fuel for the Harvest. God bless you. We'll see you next time.